Christ was rich, yet he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told this parable to those among the Pharisees who loved money. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." The man who had been rich said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel is very powerful and also very interesting, because very often when we have these readings from the lectionary that are proclaimed on Sunday, they often will put a little preface in there just to give us the context before they go into the reading. And this one is prefaced by saying that Jesus told this parable to those among the Pharisees who loved money. But the interesting thing is, if you go back to your Bible and you read this account from the scriptures, it's not introduced as a parable. There are some very, very interesting things here. First of all, because, as I said, it's not introduced as a parable. The second thing is that in all of Jesus' parables, nobody is ever named. They never have a name. But here we have somebody named in a story by the name of Lazarus. It's also something where they're discussing the conversation between the rich man and Abraham is about sending Lazarus back to warn his brothers. Well, when you look also in the scriptures, Jesus raises a number of people from the dead, and most of them we don't know their name. We have the 12-year-old girl that Jesus raises from the dead, or the son of the widow of Nain that Jesus raises from the dead. the only person that Jesus raises from the dead, that we know their name, was Lazarus. So it's very interesting, the connection, whether or not this is a parable, or if Jesus is telling a true story, something that actually took place, where Lazarus was, in a sense, sent back. We also see that even though the rich man is in agony in the flames, there's no animosity. Abraham addresses him as child. Child, in your life you received good things, but now you're being tormented. In other words, you made your choice. You made your choice. It's not through animosity, it's not through vindictiveness, but this is the choice that the person made. But what are we to take from this? Because, you know, I just wanted to point out those interesting things, but I also want to get into the point of this. It's that we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to not overlook the poor man. It's very clear that the rich man, he's not presented as a horrible person or an incredibly wicked person. He's neglectful. You know, when we pray the Confiteor at the beginning of Mass, we talk about, for the things I've done and the things I have failed to do. And the things I have failed to do. And so again, it's that neglect. That's all that he is obviously guilty of, is neglect. And that was enough to separate him from God. So how do we look out for the poor man? Or what are we looking? Because certainly we can look at the material poor, but we can also look at the spiritually poor. Mother Teresa, who saw her fair share of materially poor people, looked at our society with great sadness because of our spiritual poverty. So what can we do? You know, there have been a number of people who were very, very passionate in their Protestant faith, who eventually converted to the Catholic faith. But one of the things you see them saying is that as a Protestant, as somebody who is very, very passionate about their Protestant faith, they talk about how easy it was to talk Catholics out of the church, because they said the Catholics didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. And so how do we solve that problem? How do we resolve it? Well, let's get to know some things, because then we can be also instruments of evangelization. Two things that I want to point out that are going on in our parish this time, or are coming up, is first of all our Bible study, doing the Great Adventure Bible study that's taking place every Saturday morning here in the library, to learn about the scriptures, to know what the scriptures are saying to us, so that we're not confused if somebody confronts us with any kind of objection. So that's only one of many things that is going on here in the parish, where we can learn more about our faith. Next weekend, Friday and Saturday, there's the Life in the Spirit seminar that's taking place here. And by the way, the registration deadline is this coming Wednesday. And again, this is something that is there to help us to become alive in our faith, to become alive in our relationship with God, so that it's not just something that's there on the shelf, but something in which we are powerfully engaged in our life. So again, we can look at this in terms of the spiritually poor and how we are reaching out to them, how we are helping people who are in need of God. But there's also the materially poor. And when we look at it, we can see people locally that we can help. You know, there are some marvelous organizations that we have here in the community, things like NeighborLink. You know, Eric gave that announcement about an event that NeighborLink is putting on in a few weeks. But NeighborLink helps the poor man in our community, and for us to assist them is something that's good. Or the food bank is another one. And as we approach Christmas, there will be all sorts of opportunities for us to reach out to those who are materially poor, as funds or material goods are being collected for those who are in need. Don't be overwhelmed by the number of asks, because there will be a number. You decide what you are able to give to. You decide what you are able to do. But it's important that we don't neglect the poor person, the poor man. There's also internationally how we can reach out to those who are in need. Of course, Deacon Pat has started his program of collecting for our twin parish in Jamaica. But we also have things like Save a Family Plan, Chalice, Mary's Meals, all of these organizations that help internationally those who are in need. And again, we can't give to everything, but it's important that we give to something, that we try to help out the poor person who's in our midst. Because again, when we look at today's gospel reading, it's very clear that this rich man is not afraid to spend money on himself. You know, he dresses in purple, and purple was a very expensive color, very expensive cloth in those days. So he indulges himself. He dresses in purple. He feasts sumptuously every day. In other words, he spends excessively on his own comforts, not his needs, but his comforts. So that goes well beyond what he needs. It's expending money on comfort. And we see that we very often can do the same thing in our own life. When you go shopping, if you go to the mall, it's amazing how small a $20 bill looks. When you're going to do shopping for yourself, a $20 bill looks very small. But it's also amazing how big a $20 bill looks when you're in church. You know, it looks very, very big. But that's the thing. We're not afraid to spend money on ourselves. But do we reach out to others? So the poor man, again, we can look locally, we can look internationally. But we can also see the poor man in terms of the church. This past week, all the way through the week, we were dealing with readings about the people of Israel who were in exile in Babylon, and now they're returning to Jerusalem. And they have to rebuild the house of God. And we had a reading from the prophet Haggai where the Lord is saying through the prophet, he says, why are you living in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? And then it talks about how God will bless you. If you're generous, God will bless you. It talks about how, you know, he says, you sow much, but you reap little. You eat, but you're not never filled. You drink, but you're not never satisfied. And I think that the best image that's used in this reading is where he says, those who earn wages earn them only to put them in bags with holes in them. In other words, you're earning these wages, you put them in, and the money just falls out. But he says, if only you would do something for me, I would do something for you. I would enrich you if you would only turn to me. So we should always be have a care for having a place that is worthy of the worship of God. The final area, when we look at the poor man, we can get very complacent when there is great evil being done around us, and yet we get used to it. And so we don't do anything to try to stop it. And the evil that I'm thinking about particularly is the evil of abortion, where these little precious children are being killed by the thousands in our own country, and we do nothing to try to stop it. We might not be able to stop it, but are we so used to it that we don't do anything to try to stop it? This coming Monday, tomorrow, the Knights of Columbus are having a prayer vigil near the abortion clinic in Edmonton from 11 o'clock in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. And they're asking people to join them in prayer and in fasting for an end to abortion. You know, I have to say to my own shame, when I was younger in my priestly ministry, I used to be involved with quite a number of pro-life activities, but not so much anymore. And I know that that has to change in my own life, to be able to be more active in trying to save these tiny little lives that are in danger of death. So there's many different ways that we can reach out to the poor person, as is being shown to us in today's gospel, so that we don't suffer the same fate as the rich man, but that we listen to Moses and the prophets, and now ultimately that we listen to Jesus, that we look out for the poor person in our midst, so that we can be enriched by God in this life and in the next. Let us now profess our faith in God as we say, I believe in